Hello, Laura.
Hi, Patrick. I was just calling you this morning because I have something that's kind of just been on me lately.
Okay.
So I'm in a relationship with my boyfriend, not married, and okay. I'm Christian, non-denominational, and he's Catholic. My church has been closed for some time, so we've been going to his church, which has never really been an issue between us. So we go to church, but now that I'm going to church with him, we've been having relations. Mm-hmm. And what I heard recently, I don't remember from who or what, but something about he's not or he should not be taking the Eucharist if he is sinning and still showing up for church. So basically on the outside, it looks, you know, nice, like we're all going to church with the kids together. But inside my heart, I know that stuff is going on in the background and it's starting to like weigh on me. So I don't know. And I'm not too familiar with the Eucharist stuff, but I go to be supportive and to still be present in church. So I don't know where to go from here.
Okay. Well, that's a fair and honest question. And I'll do my very best to give you an answer that will help you get out of the predicament that you're in. So you mentioned the kids. Now, is there a second marriage in the background? Okay. Do you want to tell me a little bit?
I was married and I was divorced. And I have my two children from that previous relationship, and he was in a long-term relationship and had a child. So we don't live together. We agreed that we would be married before we go that route. But that's the kind of contradicting is that we want to do it the right way that way, but we're doing other stuff now.
So the kids,
I know.
Your kids are with you. His child is with him.
Yes.
Okay. And how old are the kids?
The kids are 7, 6, and 5.
Okay. Do they know that mommy and her boyfriend are, you know, spending the nights together, or are you keeping that hidden from them?
We do not spend the night at each other's houses. We've only done it like maybe once or twice. They know that he's around. They know we're together, but we don't stay at each other's houses like that.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, the situation is not good, but at least that's a good thing because you're not scandalizing those children. And that would be one of my main concerns is if you're giving them scandal. Like if he's staying at your house overnight, that's hugely scandalous. So, but that's not happening. Okay, good.
No, that's not happening.
Okay. So think of it this way. First of all, God loves you and he wants you to be happy. And he has a plan for your happiness that involves, you know, doing some things and not doing other things. And the thing that Jesus doesn't want you to do is to live as if you were married with the man who's not your husband. Now, maybe someday he'll be your husband, okay? But he's not your husband right now. And so the situation that you're in at the moment is that the two of you are enjoying one of the main benefits of marriage, but you're not married. And so that right there is what's causing you, I would guess, is what's causing your conscience to bother you. Because you know at some level, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. And yet you want to, but at the same time, you feel funny and weird because you're going to church. And why are we doing that if we're not really living according to what Jesus wants? That's part of it, right? That's part of what you're feeling?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's good that you're feeling that because it means that your conscience is functioning. Your conscience is like the nervous system for your soul, Laura. And you know, your nerves, your nervous system alerts you to danger through pain. And in your conscience, it's causing you this pain because it's the operation of your soul that's designed to tell you when there's trouble and how to avoid trouble, how to avoid being outside of God's will. So I would encourage you, listen to that voice of your conscience. That's why it's bothering you. Now, the two of you can stop, and it just simply is a matter of saying we're not going to fall into the sin anymore. And God, you know, God help us, we need your help, but that would require doing some things differently. So if you find yourselves falling into this sin because you're alone together with the door closed, then don't be alone together with the door closed.
Right.
You know, so remove yourselves from these situations where you will fall into this sin. And it's likely that you'll fall in because you're young and you love each other and you're attracted to each other. So that's, if you don't take measures to safeguard yourselves, you'll keep falling into this sin. So change the dynamics so that you don't put yourself in that situation. Okay. And you can do it. You can do that. Then I would say, if the two of you are in love and you want to be married, I'm guessing you are, there will be what's called an annulment process. This is something that for both of, I mean, for you, because you had a marriage before. Were you married originally to a man who was baptized?
He was Catholic as well, but he wasn't okay. very involved in the church the way that my okay. boyfriend is.
Got it. But he was baptized. That's the key to the whole thing.
Yes.
So the church would need to investigate to find out whether or not that first marriage of yours was valid. And if the church can determine that it was not valid, then you would be free to marry the man that you're with now. But you would not be free to live with him, or let's just say if you're not living together, you're not free to enjoy that benefit of marriage with him because you're not married to him. That's the sin of fornication. It's also, it could very easily too be the sin of adultery because you're, in the eyes of God and the church, you're still presumed to be married until it's shown yeah. that you were not validly married, okay? But there's a process that can unfold, and it would take a little time, but that would give the two of you an opportunity to grow in holiness, to reject this sin, to return to a practice of your faith, to bring Jesus right into the center of your relationship, and to get back on track with God. And then if it should happen that the declaration of nullity comes in and you find out, I am free to get married, then you, the two of you, can get married and have a wonderful, happy, strong marriage together because it's built on the truth. It's built on virtue. But if right. you keep going down this road, then I foresee only a lot of problems. And in the very end, when your life is over, you're going to have to give an account to God of why you did something you knew you shouldn't do. I mean, I know you don't want to do that.
Right. No, I don't. I definitely don't want to go down that route.
No. No, you don't. So put Jesus first. I'll just say this, Laura, put Jesus first and everything else second. What did Jesus say? Put first the kingdom of heaven and everything else will be added to you besides. So if you put right. God first and make him your priority in your relationship, everything else is going to get sorted out. But if you don't put him first, nothing will get sorted out. But you had another question. Go ahead.
I just was going to ask for him, because I've told him, you know, I think you should go to confession, but since I'm not too familiar, I don't know what that mm-hmm. process is like. Should he go to confession, go speak to his priest for himself?
Yeah, he should. I mean, now maybe I misunderstood. Are you yourself, were you raised Catholic originally?
No, I'm Christian, non-denominational, and he
Got it.
Is Catholic.
Got it, okay.
But he, you know, he was very involved in the church. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been together now 3.5 years. So we hit that point where, you know, stuff started to happen, and I kind of want to reverse, push the brakes and get yeah. back straight, but I also can't do that alone. So I don't want to be pushy to him, but I want him to understand that, you know, I think on your end, you have to go see a priest and go to confession. Mm-hmm. And I think something with the Eucharist, I'm not too familiar with that, though.
I can explain it, sure. So these are sacraments. Now, the sacrament of confession, you may have heard me talk about it earlier on the show today. It's the sacrament Christ established in John 20, where he gives the apostles the authority to forgive sins. So when your husband goes to, or I'm sorry, when this man goes to confession, he would confess all of his sins since the time of his last good confession. So he is not going to hold anything back. He's going to tell everything. And then he would receive the graces that come from the sacrament. The Holy Eucharist is receiving Jesus in Holy Communion, because he's truly present there. Now, these things are offered to you as well when you become Catholic. If you become Catholic, those are all available to you as well. And so I would love nothing more than to hear that you became Catholic in due time and you could receive all these things. But for the moment, you're right. The two of you are doing something contrary to the will of God, and that's part of why your conscience is bothering you. And you can say no to this. It's not impossible. You just have to say, we're making a commitment to not fall into this sin. And don't put yeah. yourselves in the situations where the opportunity is there, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can do it.
Thank you.
Both can do it.
I know. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Help each other. And here's a final thought, Laura. And this, of course, is especially true of marriage. the goal in true love, if you think about it this way, true love is seeking what is the best for the other person. And right now, the two of you, even though it involves pleasure, it's actually what's worst for the two of you. So by truly loving one another, you will be saying to each other, I'm willing to sacrifice something I would like for your benefit, for your greater good. And if you have a relationship that's built on that kind of devotion to each other, then you've got the prospect of a happy, long marriage together. But if the two of you, or one of you, just says, well, you know, I kind of like things the way they are, and I realize that this is not spiritually the best thing for the other person, but I kind of like the pleasure, that's a big red flag to keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. I will definitely do that. Thank you so
All
much.
Right.
I appreciate it.
God bless you, Laura. God bless you both. Amen and amen. 888-914-9149. These are important issues, obviously, and let's face it. Those are the kinds of sins that are easy to fall into if you let yourself. So don't put yourself in the situation where the opportunity is there. This reminds me of what was said in Genesis about how sin is always crouching at the door, always sort of waiting, almost like a coiled snake. It's just there waiting to strike if you get close enough to it. So as part of the process, and let's just go through this for the benefit of, you know, anybody who's Catholic and going to confession, or maybe it's been a while since you've been to confession, remember that part of the process of getting right with God means that you have the intention not to fall back into the sin again. Now, God knows that you're weak, and God knows that you don't know the future. He doesn't hold that against you. What he does ask you to do, however, is to make an honest effort to avoid the sin. So if you know that your particular sin happens to take place when you're alone with your computer and the door to your office is closed and nobody sees what's going on in there because everyone's gone to bed, and you're in your room on your computer on the internet, and that's when you fall into sin, then don't go into that room when there's nobody else in there. Put the computer out in the open where you won't be tempted to be looking at things that you would be embarrassed for your wife or your husband to see you looking at, that kind of thing. Or if you know that the temptations always seem to come when you're alone or when you're with a certain person or under these circumstances, then you avoid those circumstances. So if you have a drinking problem, don't spend time in liquor stores. Don't spend time with people who are just tossing them back and drinking to excess, because that is going to put you in the environment where you're going to fall back into that sin again. So if you're really serious about not falling into the sin, don't put yourself in what they call the near occasion of sin. And if you can even just do that one thing, you're well on your way toward getting yourself out of that difficulty that you find yourself in. And God will give you the grace.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.